Well, church, welcome. It's good to have you together again, to be able to gather, and certainly hope that you had a wonderful Easter weekend. While certainly it was certainly unique and certainly different, I think it was still good for us to be able to celebrate the hope we have in Christ, something that, at least I don't know how you are, I know I need to be reminded of often. And so just a wonderful weekend, and pray that it was a blessing to you. Before we jump into some things, I wanted to quickly give you just a couple of real quick announcements, some exciting things that we've got coming up. One is that if you've been around Central for very long, you know that historically we've done something called Secret Church. It's a live simulcast with David Platt in some of the teachings that he does. And they typically do that in April. And so that's coming up again. And this year, they're going to open it up to do it a little bit differently. Instead of doing it within a building and inviting people to come and watch that, they're actually opening it up to churches to be able to allow their people to register and have that cast into their home. And so if you're interested in that, that is April 24th. So that's just on Friday this next week. And it's a longer time of studying the Word of God. It starts at 6 p.m. and will go through until 12 p.m. And so it's a late night, but it's really, really worth it. And his topic this year is God, government, and the gospel. And if you're interested in that, it's a free event. You can go on our website, ccc.org, and on the banner, it says Secret Church. Click that and then register. And if you're one of the first 100 that register, you'll get the study guide. If you're after that, you'll get a PDF of the study guide. But you'll get an email that'll give the link, and then you can join us on that live simulcast. And I think it'll just be a wonderful opportunity for us to study the Word of God together, even though we'll be kind of spread throughout this city. And so I want to really encourage you to participate in that, especially with the year that we're in. I mean, we're in 2020, we're going into an election year, and I think having ourselves grounded in the Word of God is such an important point as we do that. Now, as we jump into our time, I want to also just encourage you, please just consider sticking through all the way to the end of this time and through the end of the sermon. I know that right now there's so many different things, there's so many potential distractions. And as we come to the Word of God, I want to encourage you to stick to the end and hear what it is that the Lord may have for you. And so, because I do believe that He has something special for each of us that are listening, whether you're a part of Central, you're a part of the church globally, or you're just a non-believer and you're kind of checking some things out. And so I want to encourage you to that. But I want to start off our time together with some prayer. And so, church, if you would, join me in prayer. Father, thank you for this time. It is it's a special time. It's a wonderful time where we can gather together, where we can look at your word, where we can seek your wisdom, your guidance, your path, your direction for us as your people. Father, also where we can look for truth and we can be led into truth, even for those who maybe don't know you, or maybe they can learn more about you. They can learn who you are, your character, and what it is, the glorious things you've called us into. Father, by your Holy Spirit, we pray your blessing upon our time. May you speak through this broken vessel to each of us where we are right now, whether it's in our homes, whether it's at 9:30 on Sunday morning, or whether it's driving down the road. Father, may you meet us as we know you're able to and as you promise to be faithful to do. And so we just cry out to you, ask for your help, and ask for your favor. And it's your name we pray. Amen. Well, as we continue, you know, I've been thinking a lot about what do we go after Easter. And I think for a lot of us, you know, we tend to think of what's normal in our lives. And we kind of go about our lives in really a normal environment, right? You know, we wake up every day, we go to work, we drop the kids off to school. And for the most part, we tend to navigate the little things, the little adjustments that come. You know, well, something happened to our car and we've got to maybe arrange this or that, or whatever that looks like for us. And really, we just hope to avoid the big tragic things, the big calls to our life that, you know, say, oh, you got cancer or something massive happened. And we kind of go through Monday through Sunday every week very similarly. And I think what's really interesting about this whole season that we find ourselves in is that, man, like, literally, when spring break hit, everything that we found to be normal, at least for many of us, was just completely lost. It really has shaken, at least I know for my own life, my own family, like it's shaken a lot of the bedrock of our assumptions of what is normal, what's good, and what's right. And I think it's probably generated, if you're like me, it's generated you a lot of questions. Some of those questions are small. Some of those questions are big. Some of those questions are about practical living. Other of those questions are much more spiritual in nature. They're much more broad in nature. Maybe they're pointing you towards thinking about how you disciple your kids. And, you know, I think about just the practicalities of going like, you know, what do I do with my kids now? I mean, I've got my wife and me have two, we both work, and now we don't have anywhere to put our kids. I mean, that's a question you have to deal with. What about vacations that we had planned for the summer? Like, what's going to happen? When do we need to cancel hotel reservations? And how am I supposed to care for my parents or my grandparents? How am I supposed to honor them? Like, for some of you, you can't even go visit those that you care for in nursing homes or in assisted living places. And it may have even asked you or driven you to ask the question, was I doing that well in the first place? Some of us are asking the question, like, what is church, right? And what is it supposed to be? And what am I really missing by not being there on a week-to-week basic and or basis? And some of us are even maybe saying, like, what's the point of church? What's the point of going every week? And maybe we're asking, how should I spend my money and what should I do with that? Or maybe it's changed the way we think about sickness and illness, or how do we love our neighbors? Or maybe it's changed the way we think about the gospel. How does it affect my life? Or maybe it's driven us to ask, like, where's my security? Where's my rest? Where's my peace? Where's my hope? Is it in Christ or is it in other things? Maybe it's simply led us to ask the question, like, how do I think about this life? Am I holding on to this life more passionately and zealously than I should? I think these are all questions that we've been having and been forced to ask because of the environment that we find ourselves in. And I think that I could go on and talk about all kinds of specifics. And the reality of it is that at some point, we're going to get to back to some version of normal. Now, it may not be exactly the way it was, and we don't know exactly what that's going to look like, but I think that a good question for us to all ask is, what should we go back to? Like, what should go back to being normal? Maybe it's better if some things never do go back to normal. Maybe it's better if we don't jump right back into the way things that we always did, right? And maybe it's better if some things actually do change. Maybe it changes the way we see the value of certain parts of our lives or certain things in our lives. Maybe we should confront, or we're forced to confront in this season, idols that have been brought to our attention as a result of some of the things that we've lost. And we have to ask the genuine question of whether we go back to our idols or not, whether we burn them and lay them before the Father and say, like, I'm done with this, or whether we run right back to them as soon as everything goes back to quote unquote normal, right? Like, this is really a practical question that I think we're all gonna be faced with in our families, in our homes, our workplaces, in even how we approach the church. And I think this is something we're going to have to deal with a lot in the coming weeks and even the coming months. And so leaning into our individual lives, leading us back to some of these same questions for the church as well, this is what we're going to be talking about for the next few weeks. Truth is, like it or not, we are leaving normal. We're right now in the midst of that. Like, we've left what is normal. And here's the question. Are we going to strive to go back to exactly the way things were, or are we going to seek to embrace a new normal, maybe one that is even better than the one that we're losing, maybe better than the one that we've lost? And so we're going to spend some time over the next few weeks, and I hope that that presses you. I know it certainly has pressed me as I've asked some of those questions and I've thought about some of those things. And so that's what we're going to talk about. It was about 2 years ago, I wanted to share something with you. I got an infection in my elbow. I know it sounds like a strange place to get an infection. Like, how does that even happen? And I remember I started to just have a little bit of an ache in my arm during the day, and by evening time, it was bothering me enough to want to take some Advil, and woke up about 3 o'clock in the morning, and it was killing me, like just the most bizarre thing that I've ever experienced, and super red and starting to swell. And so we thought, man, like, I don't know if I was bit by something or what's going on. And so we actually went to the ER. It's actually the first time I've ever been in the ER, and went to the ER and was laughing with my wife the whole time. I'm like, this is the dumbest thing ever. I'm going to the ER to say my elbow hurts. But nonetheless, we did. And they actually found out that I had a staph infection, and that it could be a really serious thing. And so they put me on this super high antibiotic and kind of warned me and said, like, listen, it's a good thing you caught it, because it takes time for us to catch up to these kinds of infections. You're going to actually probably get worse before you get better. And they were right. I did. The next day, I actually had a fever and arms swelled up about the size of a tennis ball and just unbelievably painful. So walked through the process. I took my antibiotics. I took finished off that prescription, and everything went back to normal. Like my arm got better and stopped taking the antibiotics and no more infection. And so I stopped taking the medicine. Right? That's the way it's supposed to work. Like you stop taking the medicine as soon as the infection goes. And you're probably in your house right now looking at each other like, why in the world is Darren telling me about his strange medical problems? Well, here's the reason why. And it actually does have a point, is that in this crisis, during this crisis, one of the things that's been revealed to me, and I think both personally and as well as even within the church and regarding our church, that I'm a part of leading, is that, and this is hard to admit, and I'll just be honest and say, and frankly, I don't even like to say this out loud. And yet, as I've been confronted with this challenge, I look at my life and I recognize that in many ways, whether I want to say it out loud is really irrelevant, because my life actually shows this to be true. And what I think that it's showed to be true, and what I feel like this crisis has revealed, is that I see prayer a lot like I see antibiotics, a lot like what we handle or how we handle antibiotics. And what I mean by that is that I think most days, and maybe you can agree with this, maybe you feel this, maybe this is a sentiment that you kind of feel in your own life, like I can pretty much function without a whole lot of dependency or connection upon the Lord. At least I think that I can. And I do that until something really bad happens, right? And that's when the antibiotic comes out. When everything changes and suddenly the world shuts down and my normal goes away, like it's at that moment that I'm like, oh, I need some help here, right? And I need some major assistance. And so now I'm going to begin to pray. And here's the thing is, I've been thinking about this whole season, and I've been thinking about prayer, and I've been thinking about my own life and looking at that and looking at the life of the church. I've been looking at it and just thinking about the early church, and not just the early church, but the church in much of the rest of the world. And the fact of the matter is, it's just simply not the case for them. They don't view prayer like an antibiotic that they really lean into when things are in crisis mode. They see prayer as a part of life. Like it's a part of who they are. It's a part of the world in which they live. It's day in and day out, moment by moment. And I think that this reality should really reveal something about us. It should reveal something about our own hearts. Just look at a couple of references in just the book of Acts. Like I'm not even going to go outside of the book of Acts, but just look at the church. And I would encourage you to write these references down. And maybe you want to go later and look at these references on your own. And I'm not going to read each one of them. I'm just going to talk about what each of them shares. But Acts chapter 2, verse 42 shows us that at the very onset of the church, the people were devoted to prayer. Like they didn't just do it once in a while. They didn't pray as a transition in their services. They didn't just pray for 5 minutes. They were devoted to prayer. Like this was a defining characteristic. Acts chapter 4, verses 23 through 31, the church is seen praying for boldness. not just trying to muster it up on their own or look for courage in their own heart or in their own strength, but they're asking God amidst a lot of trials that he would grant to them boldness. Acts 6, verses 1 through 6. The leaders are fasting and praying for the selection of new leaders. In other words, they're trying to figure out who's next, and they don't just make those decisions. Like, they fast and they pray. In Acts chapter 8, verses 14 through 15, Peter and John, they pray for the Holy Spirit to be received by the Samaritans. In chapter 10, Peter and Cornelius are both found praying in consistency with what seemed to be a daily habit for them. Like, this is something that they seem to do, and we see the Lord speak to them in miraculous ways. Acts chapter 12, verse 1 through 5, the church is gathered praying for Peter's deliverance, who's in prison. And then right after that, Peter's delivered in miraculous ways, and what does he do? He runs to the church, the house church, and he joins the prayer meeting. He doesn't do anything else. His first reaction is to join the prayer meeting. Acts chapter 13, verses 1 through 3, the church in Antioch fasts and prays over sending over out Paul and Barnabas. In chapter 14 of Acts, verse 23, Paul and Barnabas are establishing leaders and they commit them to the Lord through prayer and through fasting. Acts chapter 16, verse 25, Paul and Silas pray all night in jail. Like, you know, that's a crisis moment for sure, but they're actually praising and praying. And I could go on and on and on in Acts to show how the church is praying. And here's a simple question I would ask. Even if you were to just pick up the book of Acts, does your prayer life look like that? Does the church's prayer life look like that? Like, does my prayer life look like that? See, prayer wasn't an antibiotic for the church to only be pulled out when there was a big problem or when they had an infection. Like, prayer is their lifeblood, both corporally and individually. Like, it's the lifeblood of the church. It is an essential thing for both the individual believer and for the body as a whole. It's as essential for them as breathing is for you and me. I see this throughout the rest of the world, and yet, if I'm real honest, like, it's hard for us, isn't it? Like, if you think back to what was normal before all this happened, like, in the midst of our busyness and craziness and day to day and all the things that we're going through, like, we struggle to even get in a few minutes of prayer. I know I struggle to even get in a few minutes of prayer. You know, I said this a few weeks ago in a vlog. If you don't know what a vlog is, it's a blog that's done in video, so a vlog. Anyway, I said this a few weeks ago in one of those, that in this season, I really feel like in many ways, this actually is a blessing for the church, because this is an opportunity for God to, for us to lean into God and let him reveal to us maybe idols that we had in our lives. And reality of it is that the quickest way for us to reveal our idols is for something to change, for something to be removed. And I think that our lack of prayer is evidence of an idol in our lives. And truth be told, I think that many, if not all of us, to some extent, really believe, maybe not intellectually, but practically with our lives, that for 90% or at least most of our life, we don't need to be connected to the giver of life. We've pretty much got it handled. We know what to do. We know where to go. We know how to navigate life. We know what to say. And I think we're missing the point. I think we're missing the whole point of prayer. It's not some act that we do to keep God happy. Nor is it some act that we do when we simply don't have any other option, where we've simply come to the end of ourselves and our entire world is falling apart. Nor is it an act that we do to try and pester God to give us what we want or what we think we want or what we think we need. Prayer is intended to be life for us as the church. This is what Paul reminds us of in his closing remarks to the church in Thessalonica in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And this is the text I want to read for us today, is 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 14 through 18. And so, church, hear the word of the Lord, not Darren's word, but the word of the Lord, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And we urge you, brothers, sisters is implied, admonish the idle, encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak, to be patient with them all. See that no one repays anyone evil for evil, but always seek to do good to one another and to everyone. And catch this, rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. I'm going to read that again. Rejoice always, not sometimes. Pray without ceasing, not when it's convenient to us, not when it's easy for us. Give thanks in all circumstances, which means joyful ones and sorrowful ones, good ones and bad ones. For what? This is the will of God in Christ Jesus. You hear that? This is the will of God. And I just personally know that I'm guilty of missing this. And the reality is that if we forsake the pursuit of prayer in our lives, brothers and sisters, whether we intend to or not, we are simply willfully disobeying His will. We're disobeying His call. We're disobeying His desire for us. Like, this is not a suggestion. He's saying this is His will for every one of us. And I'm saying this to us as the church, guilty of it. Knowing that I need to repent of this, moving away from it. This season has shown me that I view prayer as an antibiotic. And I bring it out when things aren't good. That's my heart. And I don't want to go back to the old normal. I want a new normal where prayer is like breathing for me. Where it's like a life where I can't be without it. And I want that for our church. I don't want to return to the way it was. I want to leave that normal for a new one in my life. And not just in my life, but in the life of the church. I want to leave it for a new normal. I want to see God do mighty things. I want to see Him moving in the church and in the same way that He did in Acts. I want to see Him in my own, I want to see Him moving in my own life. And here's the important thing that we need to be reminded of, that without prayer, so we can say all the good things that prayer calls us to, but without prayer, we're going to be disconnected from the Father. And these are all scriptural things. I'm not going to walk through every text of Scripture that these point us to, but without prayer, we're going to be disconnected from the Father. Without prayer, we won't hear His voice. Without prayer, we won't know His will for our lives. Like we are to seek His will through prayer. Without prayer, we're going to be easily tempted. I mean, in the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus told the disciples, watch and do what? Pray that you might not be tempted. Without prayer, we might fall into the trap of picking the wrong leaders, servants, ministers, missionaries. Without prayer, He won't send laborers into the harvest. Like He calls us to pray for laborers to go into the harvest. Without prayer, we will be dependent upon ourselves. Without prayer, we might be tempted to believe that there are days. And this is more confession, but this is confession in prayer. But we're going to be tempted that there's days we don't need the forgiveness of God, that we're good enough. Is there ever a day that we don't need that? I know for myself, there's not. We will simply not receive because we're not asking. Without prayer, we will be walking in the flesh, not in the spirit. Without prayer, we will be tempted to not be mindful of the things that matter to Him outside of our spheres. In other words, we're called as the people of God to pray outside of just our church. We're called to pray for the injustices of the world, for the unborn, for the lost, for the refugee, for those that are suffering and broken, those who are enslaved in human trafficking, those who are dying because they don't have access to a pill to take care of malaria. Like, we should be praying for these things. Without prayer, we're going to be disconnected from our brothers and sisters who labor for the sake of the gospel in other parts of the world, who frankly are far more dedicated to prayer and places where the church is growing and moving. Without prayer, we will be functionally acting as if God doesn't or isn't able to listen and move in power, and I've been guilty of that one. Without prayer, He will not heal our land. Scripture tells us, He says that if my people will humble themselves and what? And pray, then I will heal their land. See, prayer is evidence of our humility. It's evidence of our humbleness. Like, we're to be a people of prayer, not just in the crisis, not just in the bad times, but in every moment of our lives, like breathing. Church, you're going to hear me say this a lot in the coming months, but here's ultimately the question, is will you obey what you're being called into? See, what the Lord is telling us through Paul in 1 Thessalonians is he's not calling us to learn about prayer. He's calling us to step into prayer. He's calling us to prayer. He says, like, listen, this is the will of God. There's no question whether or not he's commanded us to pursue prayer with the same kind of fervency and the same kind of zeal that they did in Acts. And if you say, listen, I want to pursue prayer. I just don't know how. Let me encourage you something that I think is, I actually read this or I heard it in a book. I can't remember, just very recently. And I simply want to encourage you this. What does your ordinary prayer life look like? So before all this, what was normal for you, right? So maybe some of you pray for an hour. Maybe some of you pray for 2 hours. Maybe some of you struggle to pray right before you eat dinner. Maybe some of you say, as I lay myself down to sleep, to the Lord I give myself to keep, and you pray that, and that's ordinary for you. That's the normal for you. We all have a different normal, and we all have a different ordinary. Here's what I would press you to. Take what is ordinary and add one thing to make your ordinary prayer life extraordinary. Right? So take your ordinary prayer life and add one thing to make it extraordinary. And my ordinary is something like this. My ordinary is to wake up in the morning, I spend time with the Lord, and I spend, oh, I don't know, maybe 30 minutes or so in prayer. I pray through the Psalms a lot of times because I don't have words to speak, and I need the Lord to give me words in His Word that I can pray through. I do consistently pray for meals. I pray before meetings. I pray in the church. I pray a lot before big decisions, but it's really not breathing for me. And so I want to take my ordinary prayer life and do something to make it extraordinary. So what is your ordinary? So let me give you an example. Maybe you pray for 2 hours a day. Maybe that's ordinary for you. Take a step to make it extraordinary. Pray all night, once a month. Just do that one simple thing. Change one simple thing, whatever that is. Maybe you pray for 10 minutes, pray for 10. Maybe you pray only at night. Maybe pray in the morning instead or at the same time. Like take one thing, do that extraordinary thing until it becomes ordinary. Then add another thing to make it extraordinary. This is how we grow. This is how we move. So for me, praying every day at noon for 15 to 20 minutes, which is what we've been doing as a church on Facebook Live, I've invited you into that. That's what's extraordinary for me. A lot, like I don't tend to take that time out every day. And so I'm adding that to my life to say, like, I want to take my ordinary prayer life and turn it extraordinary. And maybe it's as simple as that for you. And when that becomes ordinary to me, then I want to add something new to make it extraordinary again, that I might constantly be growing, might constantly be moving. So what is the one thing you can do? Let me just give you some helpful things. And by the way, we're gonna have some resources on prayer on our housechurch.ccc.org page there where you can download, you can be pointed to some resources there. But let me just give you a couple. You don't know where to start, pray the Lord's Prayer. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. That's in Matthew chapter 6, verses 9 through 13. And don't just repeat it, but read a line, ponder it, what it means, and pray that out of your own heart. And pray whatever the Lord brings to your mind as you read the Lord's Prayer. Pray the Psalms. Just read a segment of the Psalms. I've been saying this at our noontime prayer, the way I've been doing it, and I read this in a book, so none of this stuff is original with me, but I pray this, the psalm that corresponds with that day. And so whatever day it is, so today when we're recording this, it's the 15th, I would read Psalm 15. Then I would add 30 to that. I would also read Psalm 45. I would also read Psalm 75. So I'd add 30 again. Then I would add another 30 and I'd read Psalm 105. And whatever of those psalms is the one that stirs my heart, I will pray through. And maybe I just pray for 10 minutes. Sometimes it's longer than that. And so maybe that's a way that you can step into it. If that's too much, Google some prayers that are in the scripture. Just say, where are some prayers in scripture? And pray those as a guide. You could join us every day at noon on Facebook Live as another thing for you to do or another step that you could take. Maybe it's just setting aside a specific time and a specific time frame every day. Maybe it's not just talking, but I would encourage you to be still, to be silent. Another encouragement, another step, another pointer would be don't just ask for things, but praise Him. Think of His character. Think of His promises. Confess your sins before Him specifically, not generally. Thank Him for His blessing, His gifts, His answer to prayers. Sometimes there might even be a trial that He leads us through. Whatever those things are, pray for them. Pray for your city, your friends, your country, your family. So pray in concentric circles as you walk out those things. Church, I want to leave you with this. If you're like me, this pressing time has revealed some things in you. Let us be willing to repent. Let us be willing to obey our King, that we might find life in Him, that we might find hope in Him, that we might find a deeper walk with Him, a deeper relationship with Him, that we might see Him move in our homes, move in our church, move in our city, that we might see the book of Acts come to life again right here in Wichita or wherever you might find yourself to be. And so here's a couple of things. Before we move into a time, I would encourage you to do a communion is this. Would you be bold enough? Like I said last week, we want to try to engage more participation. Would you just, to encourage the body of Christ, maybe add in the comments on Facebook or on live.ccc, just one thing that you're going to seek to do to obey the will of God in our pursuit of prayer this week. Maybe you write on there, I'm going to pray for 10 minutes a day. And maybe for you, that's going from ordinary to extraordinary. But encourage one another that says, I'm going to seek to be obedient to this call in this specific way. And just write that out in the comments so that we can pray for each other, support one another, and hold each other accountable to being obedient to what God has called us to, that we might be led to life. And so we can be praying for you. And with all that, I lead us to a time of communion. Isn't that what prayer is all about? I mean, prayer is about us being in a relationship with the Lord. It's about us being reminded that we have access to the Father. We have access to His table. We have access to His throne because of the work of Jesus Christ. And so as you take communion in your homes, and whatever that looks like for you, as you break the bread with your families or with your spouses or maybe alone in your house right now, as you break that bread, brothers and sisters, be reminded that Christ died that you could go to the Father in prayer. He broke His body or allowed His body to be broken that you could enter into the Holy of Holies and be face to face with God. He spilled His blood so that we wouldn't have to, that we could be covered and that we could be seen blameless, that He might hear us. What a glorious reality that is. And so, church, I would encourage you to be reminded of the fact He's calling us into relationship with Him. He's calling us to live with Him. And one of the primary tools He's given us for that is prayer. So may we pursue that, not feeling like if we do, we'll be good enough, because you never will. And so we come to the table reminded that it's always the grace of God. It's always the mercy of God that's granted to us, no matter what our efforts are, but we want to pursue Christ. And so I encourage you in that this morning. I also want to continue to encourage you to worship the Lord through your tithes and offerings. I certainly want to thank the church. You stepped up tremendously. The first 2 weeks of this crisis were really hard for us financially, and because many of you have stepped up, it certainly has helped a tremendous amount. And while we are certainly not in a crisis mode, the war is certainly not over. We're still in the midst of this. And so continue to encourage you to not forsake that part of things so that we can continue to serve within our community and minister to people. And so we'd encourage you to continue to do that as well. As I end our time, church, I want to just encourage you to lean into the Lord and one more time to seek to be obedient to the will of God and take whatever is ordinary for you and make it extraordinary. do that for a while until it's ordinary, and then add another thing. Just take one small step. Church, pray with me. Father, we thank you that your grace is sufficient, and that no matter how many times we fail, no matter how many times we don't measure up, we can always come back to your table, and you always welcome us, and oh, do we need that. Oh, do I need that. And so, Father, we're grateful for that. We praise you for that. We long to be with you. And may, Father, you stir that longing in us more and more, that we might desire to be prayerful, that we might desire to constantly be coming to you. Increase our faith, Father, that you hear us and that you move and that you act, because you are living and you are good and you are God. And you are for us and not against us. And Father, stir our hearts to pray so that you can heal our land, so that you can move mightily. Father, we know you've invited us into that. And so may we be faithful. May we be a praying people in our homes and in our church. I ask all these things in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Church, God bless and hope you have a wonderful week. Strive to grow in prayer. We'll see you next week.